We're speaking on singleness. Are you okay? How many singles are here? All right. How many singles that are married are here? All right. Praise God. It's very difficult to marry when you're not single. And many people get married when they're not single yet. Just because you're on your own does not mean you're single. Are you okay? Now, being alone, being alone and being single can be two totally different things. Are you okay? You can be single but never alone. But many people, because they are alone, rush out and got married and marry the wrong person. All right? And that's because you don't value your singleness. Hallelujah. Singleness is more important than marriage. Are you okay? And most of you have never been single. Hallelujah. All you've been is unmarried. You can be totally whole being single. Our problem is we think that you have to get married to be whole. You can be whole as a single man or a single woman. Jesus makes us whole, not the marriage person, not the marital partner. And when you are satisfied that that is true, you're a candidate to be married, because you're not going to impose your insecurity on your marital partner. You are already secured as a single. Am I making myself clear? If you're not secure as a single, you will not be secured as a married person. If you're a lousy single, you'll be a lousy married person. So when you understand who you are, your own self-worth, your own identity, you are secured in God, Jesus Christ plus nothing. When you're secured in that, you're a great candidate to be married, because you are going to be an asset to the one you married to. Many people want to get married to get an asset. They don't get an asset, they get a liability, because they themselves are a liability. Are you all right? Now, we said last week, Fear and I do marriage seminars in England. Well, we in Australia, in the States, in New Zealand, in the islands. And one of the first questions we ask, how many of you now being married realize after you got married, you married the wrong person? You know, almost everybody in the crowd, lift their hands, probably between 89 and 94% will put their hands up. Why? Because I think they realize they married the wrong person. Now, I'm not going to ask the married ones that are here, if you're honest enough and bold enough. How many of you got married, realize you married the wrong person? Nobody's bold enough to lift their hands. He remarried the wrong person. Hallelujah. But it's nice to be married to the right person. Are you okay? So singleness is a state that you need to pursue, not avoid. Singleness is not negative. Singleness is the most positive thing in the world, and it's the key to relationships. When you're a secure single, you are an asset to any relationship, whether that relationship is a marital relationship or a friendship. If you're not secured as a single person, you're not going to be good in relating to other people. Are you okay? Hey, are you all right? Shall we carry on or not? You can encourage me, you know, because I don't know if I'm getting to you. I can't hear out of this ear. So I'm trying to hear myself. Glory to God. Now have a look at Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Are you all right? If you go to chapter 3. You found it? Okay. Verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman you gave me to be with, she gave me of the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." So, are you okay? Right here. Just come down so I can eyeball you. There's a man in chapter 1. And he's in the garden. There's a man in chapter 3. And he's in the trees. He's hiding. You need to marry the man in chapter 1. You need to find a man in the presence of God. We said that last week. Where do you find a man to marry? You find him in the presence of God. You find him in the garden of God. But if you find him in the bushes, it's the wrong guy. And many people go to the bushes to find their spouse instead of going to the garden to find their spouse. Hallelujah. The Bible says God saw Adam and he said, "It's not good that a man should be alone." Now, if you find a man who doesn't like the presence of God, who doesn't praise God, who doesn't honor God, who doesn't lift his hands because he's ashamed of the presence of God, it is good for that man to be alone. Now, many people go to the bushes, marry the person in the bushes, and try and drag that person into the presence of God. Wrong. Let me say this, and we said it last week, and we'll just reiterate some of the things we said. I don't care if he's got 2 houses, a boat, and a $100,000 salary. If he does not know God, he is the wrong man. You will rue the day you marry that person because you think he's cool. Why do you think Hollywood marriages never work? They've got all the money, they've got all the wealth, and none of their marriages work. Why? They're going about it the wrong way. They find somebody in the bush. Are you okay? Did you hear that? Behave yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you all right? So, we ended last Sunday night by talking about principles. And you need, even though you're single, don't look for a husband and look for a wife. In fact, Paul said, I'd rather you be single like me, because you think you got problems as a single. Wait until you get married. Are you all right? Now, like I said last week, I'm trying to scare you out of getting married. That doesn't mean that I don't want you to, but I don't want you to get out there and marry the wrong person. All right? And we'll get into that a little bit in a few minutes. And then we can go home and have some tea. Have you had your tea? You haven't? I haven't had any tea, so I'm going home to have tea. If you want to come and have tea with us, you're quite welcome. Just so long as you leave early. Hallelujah. So let me just share with you some principles that will help you to guide your life. And then we'll look at some marital stuff. Then we can go home. Are you okay? Is that fine with you? All right. Principles are the foundational law upon which something stands. Principles are not the same as facts, but principles are more important than facts. When somebody is broke, the fact of the matter is they are broke. Most of the people that are broke want to find something so that their situation can improve. And what they want to find is a new set of facts. That is the wrong thing to do. You need to live by principle. When you're broke and you live by principles, you will not constantly be broke. You're going to come out of being broke. And when you live by principles, principles are the same whether you are educated or not. Now, let's look at one of the primary principles of the kingdom. We just sang tonight, "Let Your Kingdom Come." All right. Now, the Bible says, what you sow is what you reap. That means if you sow, you will reap. Whether you're Maori or Italian, whether you sow in Ratana or sow in Geneva or wherever, it does not matter. The only thing God looks for is that you sow a seed, whether you got a PhD or you don't know how to read. When you sow a seed, you will reap. Whether you are wealthy or not, and if you're broke, what you need to do is live by principle and begin to sow seeds. Because when you sow seed, you will not be broke forever. Why? Because seed, time, and harvest. But if you just want to get a fish because you're hungry, you're going to have a full belly for half a day. Come tonight, you want another meal. But if you learn to fish, you will have a meal for the rest of your life. And when you sow, it does not matter, as we shared some time ago, the Solomon Islands is one of the poorest countries in the world. But their coconuts are the most fruitful coconuts in all. Nobody told the coconut it's a poor country. Why? If you plant, I don't care if the land is poor, if you plant and you live by the principles of the kingdom, you will reap if you don't faint. So principles are greater than facts. And when you're single, live as a single and be satisfied with God. But if you are not satisfied with the fact that you're single, you're going to try and change the facts of your life. And if you don't then live by principle, you're going to marry the wrong guy. or marry the wrong woman. Hallelujah. Pastor Andrew shared some things a while ago, I think it was last year, about being in the waiting room of God. Some people are so itchy. They're like they're sitting on ants. Just be satisfied. And I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So, live your single life by principles. Learn to sow and reap. Learn to give. The Bible says, give and it shall... It didn't say, when the pastor gives, it shall be given. No, anyone, I almost said any ding-dong, anybody can give. And if you live by that principle, when you give, it shall be given unto you. And when you give in the kingdom will press it down, shake it together, and run it over, because that's a principle of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So learn to live that way as a single person. And don't let the facts dictate to you how you live your life, because the facts can actually change. The Bible says, the things that are seen are not eternal. The things that are not seen, those things are eternal. But the things that are seen, the things that are temporary. Hallelujah. So don't live by facts. Don't live by what you see. Live by principles and live by faith. Is that all right? Hallelujah. If the facts control your life, you're going to be controlled by a temporary ruler. And you're forever trying to find a space where the facts are different. Live by principles and the facts of your life will follow. Are you okay? So stay with the Word of God, because the Word of God never changes. The Word of God is like God. It never changes. The Word of God works in the rain and works in the calm. It works in the storm. The Word of God never changes. And if you operate in the principles of the Word of God, every fact in your life will follow, will change. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, many people look at the facts of their lives. They want to change it. And the Bible is full of it. The Bible says, it came to pass. Hallelujah. I wish people would just stay there. It came to pass. Whatever it is, it'll come to pass. The Bible says it came to pass. There was a famine in the land. And a couple looked at the famine and decided Australia is a better land. I'm just using Australia as an example. So they migrated to Moab because they want to save their lives. Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion. They migrated to save their lives. Well, anybody will look at, well, you know. But they forget that this land they are living in is called the house of bread. And it's not called the house of bread for nothing. Who is the bread? Who is the bread? Bread of heaven? Feed me now and evermore. So they migrated to Moab because Moab had a lot of food and stuff. And when they did, Elimelech died, Mahlon died, and Chilion died. A family of four and three deaths. Why? Instead of living by principles, they live by what the facts of their lives dictate. If you live by the facts, you are going to be ruled by a temporary ruler. Are you okay? But don't go to Moab and die. Are you okay? Now, I had a family did that. And they were in Australia. They had a business. They bought a house. And then they got on the plane and came back here. I mean, everything seemed to be working all right. I said, what did you come back for? He said, I think we heard God wrong. I said, well, I told you that before you went. That was 2 years after they, 2 years over there, and a nice business, build a house, and then they just forget the business, forgot the house, hop on the plane, come back. And they said this, yeah, but we learned a lot. I said, yeah, you learned to listen to God. And sometimes we don't have to suffer so much if we just learn to listen and obey. Are you okay? So, in your singleness, learn to live by principles. Hallelujah. Are you all right? So, what are the principles God gives to you? The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And a lot of people say, well, why does God do that? Because the unbeliever's in the bush. He's not in the garden. Now that's a very simple principle. But many people say, well, I look at the guys in the church and they're not as good looking. God has not finished making you yet. Have a shame. Some guy said, well, I the girls in the church. Let me give you a nice example. You know the guy that has the biggest church in the world? The Korean fellow. He asked God, God, can you help me find a wife? And God indicated a woman in the church. You know what he said? She's ugly. And she's older than me. You know what God said to him? Why did you ask me? Go find your own wife then. And when they got married, now this is an amazing thing. When they got married, she grew younger than him. Why? God has not finished making you yet. She became more beautiful and more beautiful. Hello? And it's great. Why? Because God is still making you. You were not completely made when you were born. If you were, you'll stay like that. We'll keep on putting nappies on you. But you didn't. You began to grow, and God has not finished making you yet. Now let's look at somebody who did that. You know, Samson was born in a miracle. In fact, an angel visited his mother and said, you're going to have a baby. And the father came over and said, an angel visited me. And he probably got angry and said, well, come on, the angel visit you. I'm supposed to be the head of the house. And so, they asked God to send the angel again. The angel came the second time. Guess where he was? He wasn't in the house. Somebody had to go and fetch him to come. Are you okay? How many had two angelic visitations before they had their baby? Nobody. Samson's mom did. So Samson was born in the miraculous. Had two angelic visitations before he was born. Declared prophetically over his life, he shall be a Nazarite from the day of his birth. And he had supernatural strength. Now, Samson did not have muscles. If Samson had muscles, the Philistines will know it's his muscles. But nobody could find his strength, because every now and again, I mean, he's just another ordinary guy, and every now and again when the Spirit of God come upon him, he just became supernatural. You know, the first thing Samson did when he grew up, he didn't go to church. He went to look for a girl, and he went the wrong way. It was an amazing thing that a guy like that, who's a Spirit-filled, in a Pentecostal church, singing the praises of God, prophesying, and go the wrong way to find a girl. You don't go to the pub to find a girl, you go to church. Are you alright? So when he went the wrong way, the devil was looking. He said, "Oh, hey, you're very good. He's a spirit-filled guy, and you're going the wrong way. Okay, come along. And a lion roared at him and attacked him. And when the lion attacked him, this supernatural anointing turned up. And he ripped the thing apart. He goes, "Phew, that was great." Now, listen. He just expended his supernatural anointing defending himself because he went the wrong way. And many young men that are filled with the Holy Ghost defend themselves because they're going. If you weren't going the wrong way, you wouldn't use the anointing wrongly. Because you're not living by principles. I'm not shouting at you. I'm shouting so I can hear myself on this ear. Okay? That's my excuse anyway. Now, he went over there, and his father said, "Is there not a girl in the church that you can marry?" "Oh, no. I just like those girls. I like those ones." Well, the marriage didn't work. And then he went and killed some men and got some linen to pay for his riddle. You know his riddle? What was Samson's riddle? All right. He gave a riddle to the Philistine. He said, "Out of the eater comes something to eat, and out of the strong comes something sweet." Out of the lion. See, the lion that he killed, the bees came and landed on the carcass, and there was honey on the carcass of the lion. So when he went there again, he scooped up the honey, and he said, "Out of the eater, the lion, comes something to eat. Out of the strong, the lion, comes something sweet." He was not meant to do that because he's a Nazarite. So he gave his riddle and they guessed the riddle. So he had to pay for them guessing the riddle. So he killed some guys, get their clothes and paid them. He spent his anointing killing a lion, spent his anointing destroying some guys to pay for a wager for his riddle, because he went the wrong way. The anointing should have saved souls, healed the sick, but killed a lion, killed people, so that he can pay the wager of his riddle. Going the wrong way and using the anointing to try and correct his mistakes, because he didn't live by principles. So he found another girl and then slept with that girl, even though he's saved. And they gathered around the city and caught him, and he came out of sinning and picked up the gates of the city and did not walk down. He walked up the city with the gates. It takes 5 horses on both sides to put that gate into its hinges. He just picked it up. The supernatural anointing came. Picked it up, walked up the hill, and planted the gates on the top of the hill. And the prophet said, that was good. He just sinned. Now, one of the most deceptive things is that you can sin and still be anointed. And you think you're doing fine because you just done something wrong, and you get up and you can still sing like a bird. But this supernatural anointing is expended trying to correct all these. And then the Bible says, he went down to Sorek. He went down. When he went down to Sorek, he found another girl. It's another Philistine girl. Her name was Delilah. And Delilah said, oh, you don't love me. So he slept on the laps of Delilah and told Delilah the secret of his power. He said, if you cut my hair, my strength will leave me. And when he woke up, Bible says, howbeit the Spirit of God had left him. There are some secrets between you and God that you're not supposed to tell anybody. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, he found three girls, lost his strength, his eyes were dug out, lost his vision, and the Philistines use him as a common donkey to ground their corn. How can a young man born in the church, filled with the Spirit of God, end up losing his vision, losing his identity, lost his dedication to, because he did not live by principle? And those are not put in the Bible to decorate the Bible. They are put in the Bible as an example and examples to us that we will not do the same thing. Don't live by facts. Just because he's good looking does not mean he's yours. If he does not know your Savior, you're going to marry a demon. Are you guys all right? What's on the internet? Are you okay? Principles are fundamental. They are guidelines that establish direction in life. Hallelujah. Now, God never gave birth to a married person. How many were born married here? I just thought I'd throw that at you. Are you okay? And you don't need to be married to go to heaven. You don't need to be married to be anointed. You don't need to be married to have a ministry. You don't need to be married to be fulfilled. Are you okay? Say amen. When you learn to live by principles, you'll never get lost. Amen. Are you all right? They apply all time, anywhere, and everywhere. As long as you live in the planet, if you live by principles, they will keep you safe. Are you okay? Now, principles are not invented by society, so no government can change God's laws. And what we said last week, when you go to a wedding, the pastor will say, or a marriage celebrant will say, Those whom God has joined together, let no judge put asunder. Yet, we go to God to get married, but we go to a judge to break the marriage up. When does the marriage break up? The marriage is the same as the funeral. When you got married, you invited your family, your friends. They all came. The flowers in the church, beautiful gowns and things. And I pronounce those whom God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Only God can put you asunder in death. And when you die, we do exactly the same. We dress up, the family come, the friends come. We come to celebrate because before God, we join them together. And before God, we break them asunder. So after the funeral, we have a meal. The same way after the wedding, we have a meal. The covenant was cut and the covenant was annulled. The covenant was cut before God. And the covenant will be annulled before God. Hallelujah. Hey. Amen. Are you okay? Now, when you get married, you decide to get married as a single person. Marriage is the most important decision every human being will make outside of the decision making Christ the Lord of your life. Marriage, to choose a marital partner and to make that decision, is the most important decision you will ever make outside of making Christ the Lord of your life. Are you okay? Give me 15 minutes, then we'll go home. Now, some people have a very lovely house, but a very ugly marriage. Others have a beautiful car, but not so beautiful marriage. In fact, some couples' cars last longer than their marriage. People learn to drive for a long time. My young son has got a restricted license. He hasn't got a full license yet. He drives with. It takes a long time to get a license. You have to practice. You have to read. You have to study the road code. They go for driving lessons before they get a driver's license. But they can just go to the courthouse today and apply for a marriage license and get it in 3 days. That means the government cares more about their roads and how you use their roads than the government cares about your marriage and who you get married to. Hello? Is that fair? Hallelujah. They care more about how you drive on their roads than how you live as a citizen being married to another human being. They want you to study to drive, but they'll just give you the license to get married. Are you okay? Many people live with broken hearts because of failed marriages. Some have made a vow never to get married again because they got hurt. Now, many of you will still buy a new car, even though you may have an old one. Why? Because you know how to drive. People know how to drive their cars, but they don't know how to drive their marriages. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be instructive. And people go buying this car and buy another car. Why? Because they actually know how to operate it. They actually know how to drive it. But people don't know how to operate their marriages. And they don't know how to drive their marriages. Choosing a life partner for life, therefore, must not be taken without careful and prayerful consideration. You cannot just jump into it. The principle is, if you're not married, leave it alone. You rue the day you touch it. You know what I'm talking about? Leave sex alone. You rue the day you do it. It'll scar you, and you'll need a miracle from God to heal your heart. Because when you have sex, it's not just a physical thing. Bible says if you look at a man, if you look at a woman and you desire her, you already do it in your heart. When you sin any other sin, you sin outside the body. When you sin sexually, you sin in your body. The principle is, if you're not married, leave sex alone. Don't experiment it. And it's not because God is silly, it's because God is wise. I'm not angry. I just want to emphasize a point. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, nowhere in the scriptures does God ever command, thou shalt be married. You don't have to be married to be happy, as we shared. It's not a requirement by God for you to be satisfied and fulfilled. But the Bible says if you can't contain your passion, then get married. Because it's better to get married than to burn with the lust of the flesh. Are you okay? So marriage is a matter of your decision, not a requirement by God. Even though it's the most important decision you ever make. Secondly, God does not choose your mate. If God does, you'll blame him for it. But God will do everything in his power to guide you to the right person. God gives you a brain. God gives you parents. In fact, in the Old Testament, your parents choose your married partner. In some cultures today, like the Indian culture, the parents choose the marital partner for their children. Now let me say this. Many in the West will just say, that is, you know what? Arranged marriages stay together better than other ones. So God will give you every help you need to find the right person. And pathway to finding it, do not be unequally yoked. That's wise counsel. And so it just eliminates everybody else that is not a kingdom citizen. Because if you marry somebody from the kingdom of darkness, you'll have two kingdoms colliding. The Bible says, what fellowship is light and darkness? Are you okay? do not be unequally yoked. So God will give you every indication and every help. He gives you His Holy Spirit. He gives you His Word. He gives you parents. He gives you those in authority. He gives you the counsel of the multitude of counselors. There is safety. And they will all help you to find the right one. But ultimately, it's your decision. Even though God may indicate the right person, like Yongi Joe, it's still your decision whether you agree with that or not. It's still your decision to say yea or nay. Some of you are here tonight and you're edgy because the facts of life, the birds and the bees, the facts of life is, well, I'm getting old and there's so many eggs that I can produce. Well, talk to Sarah and Abraham. See, those are facts, but if you live by principles, hallelujah. Say amen. I'm hungry. That's enough. Go home.